You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
News stories frequently reveal that some of the richest people in the world are the most unhappy. Are you also trying to become rich?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God of grace, God of strength, and God of comfort, the hearts of many people are uncertain. Without you, life itself can seem so confused. Let your light of love and mercy, O Lord, shine in the hearts darkened by sin. Let your Son Jesus, who offers the lasting bread and living water of life, be always a beacon of hope for the anxious, the struggling, and the confused. By your Spirit, O Lord, divert those now seeking meaning and security in life, in money and possessions. Draw them to the healing wounds of your Son. We pray this, O Lord, in the powerful intercessory name of Jesus. Amen. Several years ago, a college professor began a special project. He wanted to learn what happens to people who win $1 million. His question was this: did the new money provide happiness to the instant millionaires? The college professor interviewed a number of lottery winners, and he was surprised at what he found. In a few cases, the winners did feel that their new money provided them with at least some type of happiness. But most winners expressed an overwhelming feeling that money isn't as much as they thought it would be. One winner confessed, "There is no way that money can ever buy happiness." How sad it is that more people do not realize this simple lesson early in life. The results of surveys are always interesting, but it is unnecessary to spend millions on research when the truth is so clearly revealed in God's Word. In the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we read, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income." The drive for money is one of the most powerful and deceiving forces in the entire world. In good economic times, even the wealthy strive for more riches. And in bad times, or during a depression, the poor are convinced that money is the solution to every problem and even the answer to life itself. Because of this, sermons which point out the vanity and the uselessness of striving for riches are never very popular. Most people consider it unrealistic to say that money is not the key to happiness. They remain convinced that the dollar sign is the panacea, the solution of all their problems, and the cure for all social ills. But instead of speaking in a general way, let's make things more personal. Has the devil ever tempted you to believe that money could provide you with true and lasting happiness? Don't ever be fooled, even if you do not believe in the Word of God, which clearly exposes the vanity of this type of activity. Then at least be honest with yourself. Look at the evidence around you. If the Bible does not convince you that money will never buy lasting happiness, at least be honest enough to observe what has happened in the lives of some people who have followed this illusion. Several years ago, one of the richest men in the world died. Because of the conditions under which he had been living, his frail and emaciated body was a deplorable sight. His hair was long and stringy. His fingernails had not been trimmed for many months. His last years were spent in seclusion, confusion, and despair. He was unbelievably rich, but his vast amount of money could not give him what he so desperately desired. Another situation was disclosed several months ago in the newspapers. The heiress of a large American fortune was found dead in one of the southwestern states. She had great riches, but her life had no meaning. As a result of her despair, she took her own life. In yet another situation, a lady inherited $50 million when she was only 10 years old. Yet, she spent her entire life vainly seeking happiness. In her last days, she confessed that she dreaded facing another year. Then at the age of 49, with a champagne glass in her hand, raising a midnight toast, she collapsed and died at a New Year's Eve party. Is it really necessary to provide more examples to demonstrate that money can never bring lasting happiness? Surely the writer of Ecclesiastes was correct when he said, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money." I do not know at this moment what your financial condition is. You may be well off financially, or you may be just getting by, or you may be in financial poverty. Indeed, no one can deny that money is needed to secure the basic necessities of life. But money can never provide the healing medicine you need to permanently satisfy the deep spiritual thirst of your soul. Let us assume that you received $100 million tomorrow. You could certainly take a long vacation, buy a new house, a new car, and many other things. But your soul would remain unsatisfied. Oh, you would no doubt for a while be excited with all your new possessions, but the deep thirst and hunger within you would eventually surface again. It would make itself known. For precisely this reason, Jesus said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Jesus made this powerful proclamation at the final day of a large church festival. He was watching the people. They were searching and searching for spiritual satisfaction, not in money, but through religious rituals and activities. And yet, as good as religious activities may outwardly frequently appear, they can never satisfy the deep spiritual anxiety of the human soul. So today, before it is too late, and before the devil has you completely tangled in his deceptive web, consider the gracious invitation of Jesus. Instead of struggling for money, which will never truly satisfy your anxieties, trust the Savior. He will satisfy the endless hunger of your heavy heart. The blessed Redeemer stands ready to satisfy and quench the deep anguish of your thirsty soul. May I encourage you to seek spiritual medicine for your inner feelings of uncertainty and meaninglessness. The roots of your haunting feelings reach down in a heart unsettled by sin and in a conscience burdened by guilt. To begin, you must recognize that your sins prevent a perfect and peaceful relationship between you and your God. Your sins are a barrier between you and your Heavenly Father. The prophet Isaiah said it like this: "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." There is no peace in a home where family members constantly argue. When envy, jealousy, and even hate exist between family members, there can be no real joy. In the same way, when we fail to recognize our sin, when we fail to repent and to turn from our sinful ways, then our soul remains deeply troubled. Our heart will also remain filled with uncertainty, emptiness, guilt, and anxiety. Even if we try to live comfortably with our pet sins, we can then never expect to have the perfect and lasting peace with God. But as you struggle and search, don't run out and buy one of the many self-help books currently available at bookstores. And never follow any of the attractive but deceptive cults now aggressively peddling their poisonous teachings. Look only to the saving cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the past, the cross may not have had much meaning for you. You may have seen it on the necklace of a bartender, or even imprinted on carnival jewelry. But from this day forward, let the cross have a new and positive meaning for your life. It was on that Roman tool of torture, the cross, that the terrible guilt of your sins was washed away. Jesus died for you on a cross outside of Jerusalem. Your sins have been atoned for. They have been paid for, not with gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Sometimes people go to a doctor. They complain of a pain in one part of their body. But after checking the patient closely, the doctor sometimes learns that the cause is actually in another part of the body, totally removed from the painful area. This is also frequently true with the deep needs of our heart and soul. We want to believe what our eyes see, even if it is a Satan-inspired illusion. And our eyes tell us that we need money and material possessions. But the Savior knows better. The recorded history of the Savior's public ministry in the Gospels reveals that Jesus understands people very well. And He understands your life and mine. He knows why our life has no meaning, and when our heart is troubled, and when our soul is flooded with agony. For this reason, He extends His invitation today to all who will listen. If any man is thirsty, Jesus says, let him come to me and drink. What have you done during the past months and years? Have you tried to find satisfaction in life by giving in to some of the temptations around you? Is your past life now an embarrassment to you? If it is, always remember, Jesus accepts everyone who comes to Him for help. He never turns anyone away. Jesus never asks any questions, and He never interrogates anyone. The gracious Savior is not interested in exploiting your past. Jesus is interested in your future. You may regret the mistakes you have made. Even members of your family may disown you, and you might even wish that you could live life over again. But don't look back. Never look back. Always look ahead. Lift up your eyes, for your salvation, your everlasting joy and hope is immediately ahead of you. Focus your eyes on the cross. Rivet them there. Just as a life preserver in the water is a symbol of rescue for the drowning, so also the cross of Jesus Christ is a symbol of your salvation. Listen as I read directly from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1. For we must never forget that God rescued us from the power of darkness and reestablished us in the kingdom of His beloved Son. For it is by this Son alone, the Bible says, that we have been redeemed and that we have had our sins forgiven. Yes, it was on the cross made of rugged wood that Jesus suffered and died. His blood was a perfect once and for all payment for the sins you have committed. When Jesus died, God the Father accepted the innocent death of His Son as a complete payment for your sins. Believe this. This promise is not from me. It's from God, and it's recorded clearly in the Bible. Yes, it is hard to swim upstream in life. It is difficult not to run after and burn up one's life seeking money and material possessions. Our society is so strongly oriented in that direction. Every day, $10 million is spent for advertising. Much of this is designed to entice consumers to buy the latest, the best, and frequently the most expensive. And the future is not very encouraging. Dr. Alexandra Aston, president of the Higher Education Research Institute, stated that research now indicates that during the decade of the 80s, college-age young people will become increasingly materialistic. More and more, these young people will seek meaning in life from money and material goods. Dr. Aston was then asked if students would keep these same goals after they graduated. He replied, "This is my guess." A lot of things, he said, are reflections of what's going on in the larger society. No matter whether you are a teenager, a college student, or an adult, don't permit the devil to set your goals in life. Never permit the prince of this world to trick you into joining the trend of those struggling feverishly for riches in this generation. In the end, you will be the deceived victim. Remember the warning of the Lord as he says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income." Instead, let Jesus, the Christ, fill the void in your heart, and let him quench the thirst of your soul. His blood has removed the guilt of your sin. He has destroyed the barrier between you and your gracious Heavenly Father. From this day on, live no more with a guilty conscience, and begin each day with the confidence that your Heavenly Father will also provide you with all your bodily needs. God has never promised anyone luxuries, but he has promised to supply all our basic necessities in life. Finally, let me encourage you to live in confidence. Face the future with courage. As God's child, enabled by the power of the resurrected Christ, be assured that you have the strength needed to overcome any problem you may now be facing. Life can be very difficult, but for all who endure and for all who persevere in the true faith unto the end, there is definitely waiting for them a crown of righteousness. No, don't expect money or possessions to bring you lasting happiness. Rather, sing with the hymn writer who wrote, "The world seeks after wealth and all that mammon offers, yet never is content, though gold should fill its coffers. I have a higher good, content with it I'll be. My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me?" Amen.